Oh, spend their lives in grumbling at everything around. Oh, yes, they always grumble, no matter what we say. For me, they grumble, grumble, and they grumble night and day. Oh, they grumble, and they grumble, and they grumble, and they grumble, and they grumble on a Thursday too.
Revelations chapter 21. Now we had gone last week through verse 12 or verse 13 up there, and we had come to these the 12 gates. Now if you look tonight in verse 12, the Bible says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now these these names were written here, and each angel was put in charge of one of these gates. And I told you that and when this thing is all over, and I gave you the scripture, and we may discuss that again later on, that when this time comes, God is going to divide the Gentile nations up like the 12 tribes of Israel. You see? I mean, God has put everything in this respect in 12s. And in Deuteronomy, he said when he divided the nations, he'll divide them up. And each nation, I suppose, and I don't know this for sure, but I suppose every tribe, the name of every tribe will represent some nation in this world. See? Now, I don't know who would represent the United States. I mean, there would be maybe one of those nations will represent the United States, and one Russia, Germany, or France, or whatever. But there's going to be 12 of these nations. And the Bible said on the east, now this is verse 13, on the east, three gates, and on the north, three gates. and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. Now these gates are for the Gentile nations. And you can see this down in verse 24. We'll be discussing this verse a little bit later on tonight. And these 12 gates are available 12 months. So each nation is assigned a month. All right, you see that? There's 12 nations, and each nation is assigned a month. And each month is assigned, there's a fruit. And each month, for each fruit, has a gate. You see that? And each gate has an angel. All right? And every angel has a tribe. So the 12 tribes of Israel, they make up the zodiac system of this universe. Amen? Now, you don't know how to tell the future. You ain't got to go to palm reading. All you got to do is get your Bible. See? The Bible lists 12 nations that match 12 tribes. And the prophecies for these nations are given back in Deuteronomy, I think, 33, and also back in Genesis chapter 49. Now, that's how God's going to bring this thing all out when all this thing's over. There's going to be 12 nations, 12 tribes, 12 gates with 12 angels that'll have access to the tree of life that'll produce 12 fruits each month, and each nation will be assigned a gate with a fruit every month. All right, now we're going to discuss that some more, more so in the next chapter. Now, let me show you something right along here. We're going to when you get to chapter 21 and chapter 22 in Revelations, I don't care, you can pick up a commentary or who you pick. I've got probably 8 or 10 different commentaries back there on Revelations. And every one you pick up will say something different. And what a lot of them do, they can't figure this thing out, so they'll go back and try to make chapter 21 and chapter 22 try to put it back in the millennial. See? But the millennial's over. See? After the white throne judgment, the white throne judgment doesn't take place until the 1,000 years are finished. Amen? Now we're not in the millennial after chapter 20. But most of them, because they can't figure some of these things out, they can't make it come out right, they can't explain it all. And I'll admit, there's a few things in here I can't explain. I'll be honest with you, there's just some things that I couldn't, the more I can tell you what I think. And that's what I'll do. But as far as just saying, I know this to be the way it is, I can't do it. And I'll tell you something else. I've never found nobody else could it either. I'm not saying I'm smarter than nobody else by no means, but I'm saying this. You pick up a commentary in Revelation, anything anybody says, and you'll find more controversy and disagreement in Revelation than you will any book of the Bible. Because let me tell you something, folks. You realize, you see what we're fixing to read here, some things, and you know, it's kind of really hard to believe. Amen? But the Bible said the just shall live by faith, see? I don't understand it. And it's hard to understand. But I believe it, amen? I may not be able to explain every verse in a doctrine of sin, but I believe what's there. See, I believe it just like God said. Now these 12 gates are going to be gates that are going to be designated to each nation. And that nation will have his month to go in there inside this city and partake of this certain fruit that this that is bore on the tree of life in a particular month. All right, look at verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Now these foundations are they're these stones down in chapter probably verse 20. And verse 21. Now let me show you something here that you might be worth seeing. You know what the old saying is? Everybody is going to get what they got coming. Okay? In chapter 20, we saw what unsaved people get. Every Christ rejecter tonight has hell coming. Amen. And he's going to get it. Right. If you're saved, Peter said, we have an inheritance undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens for you. Amen.
Amen.
Now God's going to tell us about this place He's got reserved for us. See? Everybody tonight has got something coming. Amen.
Amen.
Now what you've got to be sure of is when God gets ready to give you what you got coming, that you got everything fixed up where you got the right thing coming.
Amen.
See, that's what you better be sure of. Now, in John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you."
Right.
And when He said you, He's talking about a specific group. He's not talking about everybody. He's not talking about the Baptist, Catholic, Methodist. He's talking about, up in the first verse, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you," He's talking about you that believe Him. Amen.
Amen.
He prepared hell for the devil and his angels.
Right.
So these people that want to follow the devil, it's going to just follow the devil right on into hell, right?
Amen.
But those that believe Jesus are going to follow Jesus right to that place He prepared for them. You say, "Well, I'm not following the Lord." You aren't going to follow Him too, because one day He's going to come get you and you're going to follow Him right in this place.
Amen.
Amen. Now He says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." There's no doubt about who these 12 are. There's no doubt about it. They're mentioned in Matthew and Mark, Luke, and John. And the Bible said in verse 15, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth, and the height of it are equal." Now here's a city that John saw, and this is New Jerusalem. This is the one that Paul said in Galatians, New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. And John saw this city, this New Jerusalem, ascending out of heaven. And according to what I can find out and figure out, this city is completely square. It's wide and long as it's high. It's all the same thing. It's about 1,500 miles square. Now, somebody said, "Well, 1,500 miles, that ain't very big." That would be from New York to Denver down to Miami. That's a pretty big place, isn't it? Now, you take New York to Denver and Miami, that's an area. But you take that and put it again in height. See? I'm not a mathematician that good, but I'll tell you what I felt. One fella's pretty good. I'll tell you what he said about it. He said that thing's got 41 trillion. 41 trillion rooms, 15 feet square, that's solid gold. And he said that if 100 million people got saved every year since Pentecost, and go all the way and include the babies and everything else, he said that means at least every person would have at least 10 rooms. Now, look, let me tell you something. You know yourself, a 10 rooms, 15 square feet, transparent gold, that's a pretty big mansion, ain't it? Huh? That ain't no doghouse. That is, now, if you conclude it all, one fella said, well, if it would probably be at least 15 rooms. But if I only got 10, I don't think I'd complain to you.
Amen.
I wouldn't complain one bit. Like I said, I had a 10-room house one time. It's a pretty big place, and the rooms wasn't that big. You know? Now, you got a house here with with 10 rooms, 10 foot square, made out of solid gold, pure gold. You imagine what that'd be worth? All right, verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. This is of an angel. There's an angel, there's a man. Now this wall, if you figure that out, it'd be about 264 feet high. That's a pretty high wall too, isn't it? Huh? And verse 18, the Bible says, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, somebody said this, they said that when you purify gold down to nothing but pure gold, you can see through it like glass. Now, I couldn't prove it. I've never seen no pure gold. Amen. But I'm going to see some. Amen. I'm going to see some. And you take, they say, you know, down here, they say one of the best investments you'd make is diamonds or gold, because they never lose value. And people, they fight and kill and steal and do everything in the world, try to get a little piece of gold. You know, you see in the paper, you know, sometimes, you know, a gold ring, a 14 carat, it'd be worth $200 or $300. A 14 carat, man, this would be pure gold.
Amen.
Won't be no carrots in it, no onions either. Amen.
Amen.
And but we're gonna up there, the thing that men kill for and fight for, we're gonna walk on and kick our feet on it.
Amen.
You imagine just walking along the street and picking up a gold brick and just throwing it away, just throwing gold all around, you know. Huh? And people down here, man, if you they even thought you had an ounce of gold, they, you know, ain't no telling what it's worth. I heard one time gold got up to $500-something an ounce. Huh? Can you imagine what a 10-room house of pure gold would be worth? Boy, you'd be rich and old, rich and an old swagger, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Well, let's see. Where we at? Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And that ain't all that's there. It ain't only just a city of pure gold. The most precious stones in the world will be there. And I learned this over, and there's 12. No, there's not. There's 12 of these stones. Now, I don't know whether these 12 stones represent the 12 tribes or the nations. But there's 12 of them there. And I don't know what they for, but the Bible said the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, maybe these precious stones are the foundation the city sets on. I don't know that, but just, you know, it could be. It kind of says a little bit about that in the verse. And it says the first foundation was jasper. Like I said, I've never had no precious stones, so I'm just going to have to read and tell you what they say, because I don't know much about this kind of thing. But you got pure gold, clean, clear as glass. You got a foundation of precious stones, and there are 12 of them listed, and the first one is jasper. And jasper is often called the diamond, because it's a form of carbon. See? And then you got the sapphire, and that's a blue stone. And you kind of get these colors as we go along here. And then you got the third one there, the colossa, whatever it is, callous stone, whatever it is. And that's it's a white stone. Amen. It's a white stone. And then the fourth one, you got an emerald. Now, an emerald is green. And a sardonyx, that's the fifth one, it's a white red mixed. Now, you kind of imagine these colors. I can't, but you just imagine all these kind of colors. And you'll be able to see them through this clear, pure gold. All right? And then number six is a sardis. Now, sardis is a red and orange. You know. And then you got a what's that seventh one there? Another one of them big, long, fancy words. Huh?
Chrysolite.
Okay. Well, whatever it is. And it's called a gold stone. You know? And it's a transparent stone. It's one you can see through. And then you got the beryl. The beryl, it looks like frozen fire. It's a bright reddish orange. Then you got the topaz, and the topaz is an orange yellow. And then the tenth one is another one of those chrysolite, whatever it is. It's a golden green. And number 11 is a jacinus, whatever it is. Now, it's a dusty red or a reddish brown. And the last one there is an amethyst, whatever it is. And anyway, that's supposed to be a light purple. Now, can you imagine all these colors blending together? Huh? Yeah, no pink. How about that?
Red and white mix makes pink.
Well, okay. All right. Now that's why people that's why people put so much value on these kind of things here in this earth. You see, there are things that never depreciate. And by the way, in heaven, nothing will depreciate.
Amen.
You get no tax cut on nothing in heaven because nothing never depreciates.
Amen.
And you wanna make a good investment in some gold and some precious stones, get saved.
Amen.
That'd be the best investment you could ever make.
That's right.
I sat on the radio here either this Sunday or maybe next Sunday, and I said something about it. I was talking about, you know, the Bible said over there, if we're bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men, but be servants of God. When God saved you, you become His servant. So I said, everybody out there everybody's a servant to something or somebody. But I said, all you people want to be liberated. You know, you women want to be liberated. You know, everybody wants their freedom. Nobody wants anything. I said, if you really want to be liberated, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Get saved. Amen.
Amen.
I was that on this morning? Maybe it's next Sunday then. Okay, it'll be on next Sunday. So if you want to be free and you want to make a good investment that'll bring eternal dividends, just get saved. Amen. All right. So these are some things that we're going to see in that city that God has prepared for those that trusted Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it'd be kind of foolish if a fellow read this and say, boy, I hope I make it. I sure hope I don't lose it. I hope I don't mess up and lose it. You know, I'll deal with that some more in just a minute. Let me get on here. All right, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, notice there, he says he saw no temple there because in Eden, back in Eden, when God created it, when God started this thing, there was no temple there. And then man began to build temples for God. And then back in the days of Solomon, God let Solomon build him a temple. They destroyed it, let Nebuchadnezzar come in there and destroy it. And then the New Testament over there, the New Testament said, know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Stephen there in Acts chapter 7, Stephen said, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. But here the Bible says there'll be no temple in that verse. Now, I missed a verse here too. I just loaded it in verse 21. I didn't even read that verse. Let me go back and say something about it because it has a meaning here. In verse 21 it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now you stop. You realize what I just said? Can you imagine? Now, I, you know, it don't say how big that gate is. But it's got to be big enough for a nation to get through it, isn't it? So it must be a pretty big gate. Can you imagine a pearl that big? I mean, can you imagine a pearl big enough to make a gate? Huh? Now, that ought to tell you something too. You know, the church in Matthew is called the pearl of great price. Amen. The pearl is like the church, or the church like the pearl, because the pearl is the only precious stone that you can't never cut. You cut it, it's worthless. You know what that tells me? It tells me if you ever get in, you won't never get out. Amen? Now, Israel was the hidden treasure. But the pearl is typified by the church. And you know, one time I'd done a lot of studying on a pearl. And they say, you know, a pearl is something that is caused from something getting inside. And that thing just keeps building up around it. And they say the biggest pearls are found in waters where there's a cross, where the water crosses. They're like water coming in here. Water. They say the biggest pearls are found in places like that. Well, I'll tell you, when God put all this thing together, he sure did do some miraculous things, didn't he? There's some mathematical formulas in this Bible that would rattle Einstein's brain like a marble. You know?
Amen.
And so the pearl is the pearl of great price, talking about the church. And when you walk in that city, you can see through this city 1,500 miles. Alright? Alright, so he says here, and there were, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty had the Lamb of the temple of it. Well, there won't be no need for a temple there. You know, a lot of these Baptist preachers, they want to call their church a temple, you know. The temple. I find the only place I find temple in the Bible is in the Old Testament over there. I find the New Testament is a church. Amen.
Right.
Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, not the temple.
Amen.
Huh? Now, in verse 23, the Bible says, and the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now notice in that verse, in verse 23, it don't say the sun is not there. It says they had no need of the sun, don't it? Huh? Now let me show you something. Go back there to Isaiah 66. It's on page 771. And let me show you something here. In Isaiah 66, and look at verse 22. The Bible says, for as the new moon and the new earth, which I will make, you know when that is? Huh? That's chapter 21 of Revelation, right? Huh? This is after the millennial. He said, the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, listen to this now, and from one Sabbath, one week to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And notice there, it says, all flesh shall come to worship before me, said Lord. This is after the white throne judgment. Alright? Now what it says here in verse 23, it said the city had no need for the sun. It didn't say the sun wasn't there. Now you know, like we said, you'll come to a place like this, a lot of these fellas can't understand that, so they'll try to make this go back and make this the millennial. But the millennial's over. See? This city had no need for the sun. Now, why didn't this city have a need for the sun? Well, let's read all the verse. It says, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, you know what it tells me? It tells me that Christ in his glory is like the sun shining in its strength. You see that? When Paul was there on the road to Damascus, over in Acts chapter 9, Paul said there appeared a light above the sun. And that was about noon. Did you ever go outside and 12 o'clock noon and look at the sun? A man one time asked another, yes, this Christian fellow, he said, show me God. Man says, all right, go out and look straight up. He said, I can't look up at the sun. He said, you can't look up at the sun high in the world you think you could look in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. And you couldn't. So Jesus Christ in his glory will be brighter than the sun in his strength. And we'll have no need for no sun there. Amen.
Amen.
We'll have the S-O-N, but we won't have the S-U-N. Alright? Alright, now look at verse 24. Now here we go, get back to where we started off up there in verse 13. And the nations of them which are saved. Now you see that? The nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now let me show you something. Let me show you a picture here. Here's the suspended city up here. And the Bible said they had no need for the sun because the lamb thereof is the light. And that a city of gold is transparent. That means the nations under that city will benefit from the light of that city. See? It says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the light of verse 23 there. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. You see that? Now these nations are the nations that come out of the tribulation and the millennial. They're not the little nations you see right now. And I'll deal with that some more in just a few minutes, but I want to show you some more things in here first. Now it said the kings of the earth, they bring their glory and honor here to this place. Alright? And it says in verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's why I said these nations are the nations that come through the millennial, or the millennial and the tribulation. They come up at the white throne judgment and their names in the book of life. You see? Now I'm going to tell you what they teach now, what they teach. And this verse here, this is where this Holiness Bunch and some of these Armenian crowd, this is where they get that if you commit one sin, it'll keep you out of heaven. See? That's just ignorance and misuse of the Bible. That's all that is. I mean, first of all, let me say this to you. If you're saved, you ain't got to worry about going in that city. You already in it.
Amen.
Amen. And you ain't got to worry about going in that tree of life. You already got eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
You got eternal life when you got Jesus Christ. But you got to remember, folks, that when God saves a sinner in the dispensation of grace, when God takes the church out, he don't save sinners like that no more. Amen.
Right.
God's got a different way of dealing with people after that. You say, well, now, and that's what I'm saying, you know, a man picks the Bible up like John R. Rice, you know, and he reads Revelation 22:14, and listen to what it says. It said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates of the city. Well, he read that verse. He said, well, that verse shouldn't be there because in this age you don't do anything to get saved. See? But that ain't talking about this age. We read already back over there in Revelations 14, what those that kept the commandments was allowed to partake of the tree of life. But then you come to a point, and this question come to me, and I'm sure it come to somebody else, and they say, well, now, what about if somebody didn't partake of that tree of life? Why would they have to partake of that tree of life? Well, let me say, first of all, the reason they'll have to partake of that tree of life is they're still flesh, and they're not in a glorified body. I'm going to show you something that is hard to believe for some people. When God saves a man in this age, God wraps your church out. Every person that's saved gets a glorified body like Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when the white throne judgment takes place, if you're saved, you've been like Jesus Christ 1,000 years already.
Amen.
In this place here, you got the life of Jesus Christ. You ain't got to take nothing. One fellow used to preach on the radio, and he said, I believe we'll have access to the tree of life. We won't need it, but I believe we'll be permitted to partake of it. Well, you don't know what he's talking about. It don't say. Ain't nowhere it says that the church is going to be permitted to partake of the tree. We won't need the tree of life.
Amen.
See? These people are going to need the tree of life. And somebody said, well, what if they don't partake of it? Now, really, I can't answer that question. But I'm going to tell you what I think. It said in verse 27, it said, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Right? Now, back in chapter 20, it said, whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, doesn't it? So I believe this, and this is what I believe, that all those that enter this are people that can partake of the tree of life. I don't believe nobody will be allowed to go into this place that's not able to partake of the tree of life. Say why? Because their name's in the book of life. That's what it says. Right?
Yeah.
Well, somebody said, yeah, but what if they don't? Now, let me tell you the way it looks to me. The way it looks to me is a man comes out of the tribulation, he don't take the mark of the beast, he loses his head and he dies. He comes up at the white throne judgment. His name's in the book of life because he refused the mark, and he's allowed to go in the millennial. At the millennial goes on into outer time, beyond time. Well, man, the millennial keeps the commandments, and he's allowed to enter in this prime. He's going to be allowed to tree of life. Now, you go back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, God said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you partake of it, you're going to die. Now, they didn't die physically when they partook of that tree. They died spiritually. Okay, they died physically later. And I believe that these people, as they... Left out in these sin, what do they produce? They produce sinners, right? They produce sinners. Therefore, by one man, sin entered the world, so death had passed upon all men. Amen. I have the sentence of death because of Adam's sin. Amen. So these people go in and partake of the tree of life, right? And the tree of life gives them life. And then they'll have multiple births without pain, without sorrow. And they'll have births and produce beings that have eternal life. Yeah? You say, preach, that's far out. Well, well, can you explain it any better? You can, you tell me, okay? I mean, you know what the Bible said back then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22? God said, lest man put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever.
Right.
If Adam would have partook of that tree, he'd have been alive today in his fallen condition. Huh? So these people are going to be permitted to partake of the tree of life. See? But that's condition. That's condition. That condition is found in 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Okay? That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You see, that tree of life is going to be in that city. And they're going to have to come in through these gates at their appointed time, at their appointed fruit. And Ezekiel, I believe it's Ezekiel 47, it's a millennial passage, talks about this tree, and it says the leaves will be for medicine, for healing. See? Now, you know, everybody today, you know, the preacher get up and they talk about, well, you know, God wants you well. You can be healed if you have faith. And, you know, we having a Holy Ghost meeting, you know, come down, get healed and all this junk. See? Well, they telling the truth. They just in the wrong place. See? Because when Christ died, he did heal us. He did heal. But he didn't heal this body. His blood did heal us. When you get a glorified body, you won't have to worry about getting sick or dying, nothing else, see? Now, the reason I know that is because all these people go to these healing meetings and they say to get healed, don't they? But they still die, don't they? That means they didn't get healed. When you ever get the real healing, you ain't going to die, see? Now, let's begin here in this next chapter, chapter 22. We don't have much time left here tonight. Chapter 22. John said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. All right? In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nations. Now you see that. The tree of life yields 12 manners of fruit, 12 months a year. And the fruit is for the healing of the nations. Okay? Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. Now, you know where we are now? Huh? We're back to Genesis 3. Huh? Right. We're back to where we started. In Genesis 3, there was a pure river that flowed out of there. Matter of fact, there was four rivers there. Right? And there was a tree of life there, wasn't it? And there wasn't no curse there. You see? This is paradise restored.
Amen.
Sin brought a curse on it. Right? But here there's no curse because there's no sin. And the reason there's no temple of God, the temple used to be where God dwelt among his people. There'd be no need for the temple. God would be there with them.
Right.
You see it? I mean, let me tell you something, folks. There won't be no preachers in heaven. There won't be no need to preach there.
Right.
You won't need a Bible in heaven. You'll have it all right there.
Amen.
See? And this goes back to the way it began. There was no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. That's what God originally intended in the creation. He created man and put him in a perfect environment with the tree of life, no curse, and all God asked Adam to do was just serve him. What did he do? He served the devil. That's what he's been doing ever since. But one day, God's going to take care of all that. Amen? I mean, God is going to do it. Man is not going to bring in a better era. Man is not going to make this world a better place to live. No government is going to solve the problems. As long as there's sin, there'll be death. And long as there's death, there'll be trouble.
Amen.
But let me say this, God is going to take care of it.
Amen.
Amen. And it says up there in verse 2, it says that this tree was for the healing of the nations. Like we said, they need to be healed because they still subject to death and they need life. You see? They didn't get life from Jesus Christ. Huh?